Hi, I'm Ella Sean, reluctant romance writer and host of Enchanted Beast Podcast. Welcome to the Enchanted Forest.
You're at the gym. The trainer you pay an additional $65 per visit is yelling at you as you progress through the last set of 20 squats while curling 8-pound weights. Your glutes, quads, and abs are burning and shaking. You can't see because sweat has obscured your vision. And in that last corner of your mind, still capable of coherent thought, you hear the trainer's voice yelling, "If you want to make some progress, girl, you got to be willing to be uncomfortable." He has about 0.2 seconds before you deliver the mother of all uppercuts with one of those 8-pound weights you're curling. And just when you're ready, you hear him call, "Done. I'm proud of you, girl." Yeah, we'll talk about it. Hello, my enchanted beast. How are you? Well, me? I'm good. I'm usually always good, right? So, we're in week 3 of our series on elevation, and this week we're leveling up to progress. Now, normally when people think about progress, we only consider what comes at the end, right? What we have actually progressed to. And not so much the actual process of getting to the end, right? But this week, on level 3, when we think about progress, I want us to focus on the process, how we actually get from point A to point Z. Now, before I delve into level 3 and level you up, I need to at least do a brief recap, right? So for those of you who are tuning in to this series and you've not had the opportunity to listen to the intro or to go through level 1 and 2, let me catch you up. But if you've been listening and this is like, oh yeah, I'm tuning in because I want to get to level 3 this week, still, a little refresher is always, always on point, right? So, we started with level 1, which is listening. And the whole point of listening, right, is to create pockets of order in which we are able to fully participate in the exchange of information. And so we started with the concept of listening being an art form, right? There's an art to listening. And keeping along with that metaphor, which is extending throughout the series, I thought, what better way to drive home some points than to provide an artist toolbox and, of course, the tools. So, when we talk about creating listening art, there are several tools that you guys received: patience, discernment, respect, and the third eye. We also talked about how we could exponentially expand those pockets of order, increase them through sacrifice, which means we would sacrifice our talent for our attentiveness. We would sacrifice our ego to our enchanted beast or spirit. And we would sacrifice ourself for others. And that I had to give the caveat, right? Because, you know, I'm always about me first. If I'm not happy, there's no one who's going to be happy, right? So as a caveat, when I say sacrifice self, I mean personal consciousness. And others is collective consciousness. So we sacrifice the personal consciousness for the collective consciousness. And that took us to level 2. which was last week, and we moved into understanding. Why? Because, well, listening is the beginning of understanding. And understanding, just in engaging in activities and the practice of truly understanding, will release us from personal biases and our own personal blind spots, and allows us to transcend the universal law of polarity, which keeps us separated from one another, right? And to add to your artist toolbox, I gave you three universal laws, two of which were immutable, which means they are what they are. There's no getting around them. There's no transcending them. You have to deal with them, right? And one of them were actually mutable, which means you could transcend them. There is some work to be done, but you couldn't possibly transcend them. So the laws that we worked with were the second universal law, which is the law of correspondence, harmony, and agreement, and all that good stuff. The second law we worked with was the first mutable law, right? If I don't say it's mutable, then it's immutable. So the first mutable law was the law of polarity that states everything has an opposite. And that's the law that we work to transcend. And then the third and final law that we worked with was the third immutable law, which is the law of vibration. Simply states that everything moves, nothing rests. Okay? We also looked at more objective, high frequency ways of understanding each other as opposed to the subjective, lower frequency ways of understanding each other. So instead of saying this person is good or this person is bad, this person is right, this person is wrong, we talked about using the acronym OCEAN, and there's a link on last week's podcast description of where I got it from. But it means we look at people to say, oh, this person practices openness, or this person practices conscientiousness, this person is practicing extroversion, or this person practices agreeableness, this person has some neuroticism, right? So instead of using terms that would normally separate us, we use terms that we all can identify with in some way, shape, or form. So that is a brief, super skinny version of the beginning of this series, right? And so now we are leveling up, right? And we're on to level three, progress. You'll notice, right, that listening is the beginning of understanding, and understanding is the beginning of progress. So we're on level three. But what does progress mean, right? I want to give us a definitive answer to start with, so that we have a baseline for understanding the term progress when I use it in relationship to the Elevation series, right? So no, this is not an actual word nerd girl moment at all, okay? Believe me, it's coming, because that's who I am. But I just want us to have a kind of baseline understanding of the word progress, okay? So progress is defined as forward or onward movement toward a destination. It is also defined as move forward or onward in space or time. And some of the words that are kind of associated with the word progress is advancement, making headway, advance, move, go, continue. Okay? So when we think about the word progress, we often associate it with what I like to call high frequency words, right? So forward movement, advancing, proceeding, continuing with all of these high frequency words, words that make us feel right I just did air quotes. You can't see me, but I did them. Words that make us feel like we're doing something good for us, good for everyone, right? High frequency words are the words that build. And you know, they help us help out. If that makes any sense. We think about the word progress and we think about high frequency words, right? We put them in terms to be more, I don't know. When I say high frequency, I want you to understand I'm talking about words that are positive, that are motivating, that are uplifting. But every time we say those words, then we are, by default, by the law of polarity, we are saying that everything that isn't leading to progress is a negative, demotivator, downward spiral. So I like to kind of, you know, steer clear of those. We'll just call them high frequency words, right? Because along with high frequency words, there are high frequency actions, high frequency emotions, high frequency thoughts and ideas. All of that is what we normally associate with progress, with moving forward, with proceeding towards something, right? But this level is an extremely difficult level to traverse. But it's one of the most necessary levels if we are going to elevate to where we need to be. And remember, the whole purpose of this series is to help the enchanted beast, that's us, to help us elevate the collective unconscious, the information in the collective unconscious, raise it up to a collective consciousness, okay? So that we all have access to it. But it's a hard level. Level 3 is a really difficult level. And I would be totally remiss if I did not honestly say there is a point in this forward movement, a point in this procession, in this advancement that isn't associated with high frequency anything. Because here's the kicker. There cannot be progress if there is no discomfort. Wait, what, Ella? What are you saying? There cannot be progress if there is no discomfort. What do you mean by discomfort, Ella? What does that mean? I mean, like what? Like a little bit of sweat? I'm good with sweating. It's hot. I'm outside. I'm spending. I'm good with that. No. When I say discomfort, I'm going to give you kind of a, it's not exhaustive, but it's kind of extensive list, right, of words. So when I say discomfort, I mean slight pain, soreness, irritation, stiffness, as to make someone feel uneasy or anxious or embarrassed, to make uncomfortable, to be disconcerted, to put someone off their stroke, off their game, discombobulated, to disturb someone, to rattle cages, to be perturbed, to set someone back on their heels. I'm saying you're not going to progress anything unless you have to deal with some or all of this, right? My guess is by the end of this whole elevation situation, you're going to deal with every last bit of this discomfort plus some. And you have to do it willingly. And it can't be something that you do begrudgingly. You have to willingly endure the discomfort. Okay, so discomfort is the very opposite of reassurance. And that's what we've been trying to kind of, let's give these things to reassure us that we are doing the right thing. No. Discomfort says you are not assured of anything. Discomfort is the very opposite of reassurance. You are not going to progress anything unless you are willing to endure the discomfort. Now, seriously, ladies, I want you to think about the best sex you have ever had in your whole life. Not the best sex you had in this year. No, the best sex you've had in your whole life. Now, think about the most mundane sex you've ever had in your whole life, right? I'm willing to bet all my bad decisions and some of my good ones, the best sex you've ever had was not comfortable. I'm positive it left you feeling sore, stiff, and a whole lot of, I can't believe I did that, the next morning, right? Right after the crescendo of orgasms, were you a little discombobulated, a little rattled? Were you thinking, oh my God, I didn't even realize that was possible. Or I never even would have thought to do something like that before. Right? Before making it to the land of O, was there some slight pain involved in getting there? Sore nipples, beard burn on your inner thighs the next morning, a little irritation when you went to pee because you were sexed raw before, right? I mean, but when you look back on the memory, are you frowning? Or smiling and squeezing your thighs together and thinking, shit, I can't wait until the next time. Come on, was it worth it? Huh? Was that worth the uncomfortable shit you had to do to get there? Would you do it again, knowing you were going to be uncomfortable for a while? Knowing you were gonna wake up with carpet burns on your knees and your butt cheeks? Would you do it again? Exactly. Okay, fine. Let's say you're not that chick, right? You don't like a little bit of with your sex. You like it comfortable and you like it pleasant and you like the orgasm that rolls through you like a ripple, but not the ones that fall down on you like a freaking tsunami. Okay, fine. I have another example. One I'm sure all of us can understand. Now here's my truth. Here's the tea. And it's lukewarm because it's not that hot, right? I am not a high heel shoe wearing woman by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, if I could go barefoot everywhere, I would. But I'm not nasty and I'm real bougie. So that's not going to happen. But really, I don't like wearing high heels. So I buy comfortable shoes and they're usually hideous. Like if they're ugly and comfortable, I buy them because A, I'm not going to see anybody else with them. B, I'm pretty sure my children won't try and take them from me. And C, they're comfortable and I can wear them with a lot of different looks. But sometimes that's not an option. Sometimes I have to put on heels and not just like, you know, a 1 or 2 inch granny pump. No, sometimes I have to put on the stiletto, right? With the platform 4 or 5 inches. Now I'm 5'6". So me putting on a 4 or 5 inch heel really isn't that big of a deal, right? At 5'6", I put on a 4-inch stiletto, I'm like 5'10", and whatever. So I do. I have stilettos. I have them up way high in my closet where I cannot reach them because I hate them. I hate wearing them. I hate walking around in them. I hate everything about them. They are uncomfortable. I just don't like them. But if I'm going to do a book reading, or if I'm going to a speaking engagement, or if I'm giving a presentation, I kind of have to be Ella Sean, romance writer, right? And Ella Sean, romance writer, is sexy AF, and I need to be that when I'm going out representing myself as a romance writer. So I throw on a sexy little LBD that hits me right above my knees, right? The material usually drapes across every curve I have. Now, I'm not going to front. I have a great body. I don't work hard for it. It's just a part of the package, and I'm cool with that. Shoot. So, yes, I put on a cute little dress, and I show off my assets because I got them, right? And I can't put on ugly shoes or pumps, so I have to put on stilettos. Now, here's the thing. I'm uncomfortable. As soon as I put them on, my toes start pinching. As soon as I take my first couple of steps, my arch starts to burning. I freaking hate it. I hate wearing them. But no one's ever going to know it. And honestly, by the end of the night, I'll probably be barefoot. But really, people are going to see me and they're going to say, yeah, I can believe she writes some pretty good shit in her romance books because she looks like sex walking. And that's what I have to present because I have to progress my career as a writer. I have to be that person, right? And so that means dealing with a bit of discomfort because I know why I'm doing it. I understand why I'm doing it. Because being uncomfortable in my stilettos is moving me forward, moving my career forward, right? And we all do it. We all put on the stiletto and the power suit and we go in and wreck shop in whatever area we are conquering. And then we have our ugly shoes under the desk, right? That we put on when we're not meeting with people. And that's what it is. Because we understand that we have to be uncomfortable sometimes if we're going to progress in any way, shape, or form. So we get that. We get being uncomfortable to progress. But do we really understand what it means to actually progress a cause? We don't really want to think about how we got all these civil rights. We're just happy that we have them. But it's really hard to think about all of the people who died, all the people who bled, all the people who were humiliated, all the people who were abused, all the people who were injured, all the people who gave up their lives so that we could have all these civil liberties that we now, most of us, probably take for granted. We don't really want to think about how difficult it was for little kids of color to integrate schools in the 50s, 60s, 70s. We don't really want to think about what they went through. We don't want to think about how these little kids had to walk through mobs and crowds yelling and calling them names and threatening to kill them and rape them and burn them and hang them. No, we don't want to think about that because it's uncomfortable. We're just happy that our kids can go to any school they want to. And if we have enough money, they can go to any college they want to, right? Because we don't really want to think about the other part, right? The uncomfortable parts. We want to keep progress with high frequency. We want to keep progress with motivation, with uplifting, with yay, we overcame. But we don't really want to think about what it took to overcome. And that's where progress usually falls short. Because we fail to acknowledge the hardship. We stop accepting the fact that there will be points of discomfiture as we're making progress. And when we stop acknowledging the hardships, when we fail to accept that discomfort is a part of progress, we ultimately stop progress. Right? So level three is about progress, understanding what it takes to make it happen. That's why this level is so hard. Okay, I told you it was coming because I am who I am. And Ella is a word nerd girl. So it's obviously word nerd girl time. I was thinking about this idea of progressing a cause. And I thought I need to look a little closer at the word cause. Right? Because I don't want to lose sight of what the cause is. The cause is elevating more and more new awareness from the collective unconsciousness to the collective consciousness. That is the cause. That's what I am hoping to inspire in the Enchanted Beast who take this on. But what does the word cause mean? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I even get into it, I you know, cause has like a noun meaning, right? And then it has like a verb, right? So I went with like the verb. I started working with the verb cause, to bring about. And it led me, once I did the whole word nerd girl thing, right? You know, going from word to word in the thesaurus, it led me to the ultimate word of prophecy. And I was like, what the hell? No, we're not looking at prophecies. So, it, you know, I had to like pull back because I took the verb, the action. But no, I'm talking about a reason, a source, an origin, a basis, a root. The why behind the what. Okay? But I'm telling you, when I got to prophecy, it led me on this tangent. It was crazy. I was looking up prophecies from Nostradamus, prophecies from the Bible, and then my man Jung, who started this whole thing, Carl Jung, Mr. Collective Unconsciousness himself, he had a book of like prophecies and visions that he'd taken some drugs to induce. And I was just like, holy shit, I need to pull back because I'm not there. That's not where we were going with this. We're not prophesying anything. So I pulled back and I got to cause noun. Okay. So here's what happened. So the words, reason, source, origin, basis, root. I clicked on root and it took me to essence. Core, foundation. I clicked on foundation and it got me to groundwork or footing. Society. I clicked on society and guess what I got? Humanity. Now at this point, my heart's beating a little bit faster than it probably should be. And I'm kind of squirming in my seat because I'm getting totally, totally excited about where this might be going, right? So I click on humanity. And the first word I see is understanding. So I'm like, ding, 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 understanding. That's level two. I'm onto something. I don't know what I thought I was onto, to be honest. I was just really excited because it seemed like something was happening. Had no idea what was happening. So I clicked on understanding and first word I see, appreciation. So I'm trying to slow myself down. I'm trying to breathe deeply so that I can click on appreciation and not pass out when I see what I think I'm going to see. Because if I see what I think I'm going to see, I knew I was probably going to pass out from excitement. Because, well, I kind of have narcolepsy with cataplexy. And so if I get really excited and happy, there's a good chance that I'm going to keel over. Not dead and not even unconscious, just paralyzed and not able to respond. So I really had to rail myself in because I knew I was going to see this word when I clicked on appreciation. So I click, and the first word I see is gratitude. I know. It's the first word I see, gratitude. Right? Oh my God, I'm like I didn't see it coming when I clicked on cause, and I was like, give me some words for cause. I had no idea it would lead me to gratitude. I mean, I knew I would get what the cause was about on level three, right? Because the cause is the elevation of more and more awareness from the CU to the CC, right? The collective consciousness. I knew what the cause is, I know what the cause is, and I knew I would get the why behind the cause. What's driving the cause? Like, I knew I would get that, but oh my God, I did not think for a moment that it would be my old and constant friend, gratitude. If you all hear my puppy barking, I am so sorry. But I'm on a roll and I am not stopping in this podcast. So anyway, we get to gratitude. This is what we are moving towards, right? This is the progress. This is what we are elevating from the collective unconscious to the collective consciousness. This gratitude and it's the only tool you'll be receiving for your toolbox at this level. Gratitude. Okay. I really do have to calm down. Like, I'm feeling a little bit dizzy because I love gratitude. It's that thing that gets you through it even when you don't know why you're getting through it, how you're getting through it. Gratitude. Okay. One more tool for your artist toolbox. Gratitude. Now, gratitude for our purposes today is all capitalized with periods between each letter. Okay? I want to share with you this definition. It comes from a psychologist who actually studies the effects of gratitude on human happiness, and his co-author from this research study, Robert Emmons and Robin Stern, from 2013 research study. Gratitude has a dual meaning, a worldly one and a transcendent one. In its worldly sense, gratitude is a feeling that occurs in interpersonal exchanges with one person acknowledging receiving a valuable benefit from another. Gratitude is a cognitive, effective, or affective state that is typically associated with the perception that one has received a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after, deserved, or earned, but rather because of the good intentions of other persons. Gratitude, it is both a feeling and a cognitive affective state that comes from receiving benefits from other people that we did not necessarily ask for, nor do we necessarily deserve, and we've done nothing to earn it, and yet we are gifted with these things. And so we feel this sense of gratitude. Now, how do we use this tool to endure the discomfort while we endeavor to make progress in our cause of elevating awareness from the collective unconsciousness to the collective consciousness? Yeah, I know you hear me kind of speaking slowly because I am so freaking excited right now. Really. So, oh my God. I have to get myself calmed down so I can get this out to you. So, I mean, wait until you know what I already know. You're going to be just as excited, if not more so, than I am right now. Okay. All right. Take a little deep breath there because I got to keep it together. Okay. I'm gonna drink a little bit of my tea, and I normally try and not let you guys hear me, but shoot. I just drank the last bit of my herbal tea. So if anyone listening wants to support my herbal tea habit, there's going to be a link in my description to do so, because it really does keep me calm, so that I can get all this stuff out to you. So if you want to support my herbal tea habit, there's a link. You can support it. I'd appreciate it. Anyway, we already understand that discomfort is a part of progress, right? But do we understand why it's a part of progress? Like, I know you know, but if you're a little fuzzy around the edges, I'm going to give you a hint. But I'm not going to explicitly tell you why, because I want you to figure it out for yourself as we continue meandering in this enchanted forest, okay? So listen, I want you to close your eyes, unless you're driving. In that case, keep them open. But otherwise, close your eyes, okay? Now, think back to your favorite pair of jeans. You know the ones that make your ass look like someone could bounce a quarter off each cheek? They are perfect in every way and so comfortable you could take a nap in them and not even need to unbutton anything, right? Now, think about the first time you put those jeans on and you had to do a little jig to get them over your hips and that great quarter bouncing ass you had to take a deep breath and hold it to get them zipped and buttoned before you could let out that breath. And how when you sat down, the waistband cut into your belly and left that red, angry, and irritated line around your soft middle. What was your first thought? What did you immediately consider doing? What was your motivation behind that consideration? Okay, I'm done. I'm going to let you sit on it while I continue with this episode. I'd love to hear from you guys with your thoughts on your favorite jeans, seriously. So if you want to use the Anchor mobile app to call into my show and leave a message, I'll be sure to include it in the next episode because I would really love to know what you guys think, what you were thinking about as I walked you through that memory integration. Okay, yeah, it's Anchor mobile app. It's the only way you can call into the show right now. So if you do that, I'll make sure to get you on. Okay, anywho. Now back to progress and how to endure the discomfort to make it to the other side. right? To make it to the, ooh, girl, I can't believe I can vote. Oh, I'm so happy my kids can go to everybody's school now. Ooh, I can go to any restaurant and be served. That's where we want to be. But we have to get through the marches and the fire hoses and the dogs and the lynchings and the beatings and all of the derogatory name calling and the rapings and, you know, the jail time and the assassinations and the death and the murder and the mayhem. We have to get through all of that before we can say, yes, I'd like to sit at this counter and order a Denny's Grand Slam breakfast, please. Right? So how do we do that? Well, the only tool I'm giving you today is gratitude. All caps, periods in between them. But this is not just like, ooh, you're just going to give me a tool of gratitude. I'm supposed to just be grateful for everything I'm going through, even though it sucks. Monkey balls. I'm supposed to just be happy about it. No, you know I wouldn't do that to you. This is not just a tool. This is like MacGyver's knife, right? This is like MacGyver's knife. Lots of different parts and gadgets to help you get out of almost any situation, okay? You know I'm about that life. I'm about helping you, help us, help each other. So let's think about this gratitude tool as kind of the MacGyver tool, okay? So, gratitude, all caps, with little periods in between, which tells us it is an acronym. Okay, are we ready? G is for grit, which is determination, fortitude, courage, and tenacity. You have to have grit if you're going to get through any uncomfortable anything. You have to have determination. You have to have some ovarian fortitude. You have to be courageous. You have to have that I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. I'm going to keep doing it until I get it done attitude. Grit. R is for resiliency. Grit and resiliency are not the same. Resiliency is the ability to recover from or adjust easily to misfortune or change. We have to be resilient, like a rubber band, right? Like the vaginal walls that we have. That's why we do our Kegels. That and so that our bladder and uterus won't fall out when we get old. We Kegel so that we can have resilient vaginal walls. And we want to be like those vaginal walls, resilient. We want to be able to recover, to adjust, to bounce back when shit changes in our lives, when things just don't go the way we thought they were going to go. We don't want to be the ones who are sitting there all stretched out and crazy. No, we want to be resilient. Bounce back and keep it moving. We have to have attention, kindness, thoughtfulness, awareness, responsiveness, notice. We have to be aware of what is going on in our lives and in the lives of others, what's going on around us. We have to take notice of these things that we may not see with our human eyes, but that third eye is always going to catch it, right? We have to be kind, even when we are not in the best place. We still have to practice kindness and thoughtfulness. We have to be responsive to what's happening in and around our lives, to us, to people we care about, to people we don't care about, people we know and we don't know. We have to pay attention, right? We have to trust. That's a belief, a confidence. Care, reliance, protection, responsibility. We have to trust that what is happening, what is causing us discomfort, what is causing us slight pain, irritation, right? What's causing us soreness? What's kind of rattling us at this moment? That all of it is a part of the process to progress us where we want to be. That this is what is supposed to happen. We have to trust that. Believe it. Be confident in the knowledge that regardless of whether or not it makes us feel good, it is good for us. Right? You still holding on to the genes? Thinking about what that all means? Why we have to have this discomfort? Stay with me. intuition. We need insight, perception, instinct, sensitivity. We have to be able to trust that part of us that knows without knowing, that part of us that is perceptive about things that aren't seen or said. We have to be able to tap into what is unconscious, what is unaware. We have to be able to tap into that, because that part of us is the part that is connected to who? The enchanted beast, right? My intuition is, that's Lilith. I have to be in tune with that. I have to trust that. Tact. I like this word. It is an adroitness and sensitivity in dealing with others or with difficult issues. Practicing tact, having tact. I mean, really, we cannot be rude. We cannot be offensive. We cannot be the people who are causing strife, even when we are dealing with it, even when we come up against people who will be offensive to us, who will be rude to us, who will try and bring strife to us. We have to practice tact. Utility, the state of being useful, practical, or beneficial. We cannot ever sit on our laurels. We cannot ever assume that we know all there is to know. We cannot be so spiritual that we have absolutely no practical application for any of it. What is the point? We live and experience everything in the physical plane. So therefore, our usefulness needs to be physical. We have to be practical. We have to be beneficial in this place. Yes? Dedicated. To devote time, effort, or oneself to a particular task or purpose. Listen, people. Now, you have to be dedicated to something. You have to be willing to give up your time, to give up your effort, to give up yourself to this particular cause, even when you feel you have absolutely nothing left to give, even when you look around and you are bare bones sitting here trying to figure out how the hell am I going to pay my rent, but you want me to do what? Dedicate my time? Dedicate myself to this? No. I need to dedicate myself, my time, to figuring out what? No. You have to be dedicated to this cause, even when it feels like you have nothing to give. Especially when you feel like you've nothing to give, you dedicate yourself, commit yourself, your efforts, your time, your energy, your focus, your spiritualism, everything to this cause. It's how you get through to the, oh yeah, we overcame. We can go anywhere we want and shop now. It's not a problem. And they can't deny me housing because I have melanin. No, they can't deny me housing because I'm disabled. No, we have to get there, but we still have to go through it to get to it, right? The last little gadget on our MacGyver tool of gratitude is effervescent. This word makes me feel like I've been drinking the best freaking champagne in all of Champagne, France, right? Because effervescent, bubbles, lightness, joy, happiness, vivacious and enthusiastic. Wow. We have to be enthusiastic. We have to be vivacious. We have to be bubbly and light in our cadence, in our place of mind. Yes, we have to be effervescent, even when we're going through, even when we are facing hardship, even when we are not comfortable, even when we are sore and tired and stiff and irritated, even when we have not one leg to stand on, we still have to be effervescent. We still have to have joy. We still have to have bubbles of hope. Right? Because we know what we're doing. We know what we're going towards. We know what we are advancing. We know what the cause is. So we have to be effervescent through it all. Yes? All right. Reminder, there is no progress without discomfort. But we do have this freaking amazing MacGyver tool that is going to help us make it through the other side. Now, how do we use the MacGyver tool of gratitude? Honestly, it's pretty transparent. It's pretty self-explanatory, right? Or maybe not. But we have to start at the beginning of the process. This is going to trip some people up because it tripped me up as I was writing. But we have to start at the beginning of the process so we can see how far we've come and how far we have to go. What progress has been made and what progress still needs to be made. You thought we were already making progress? You thought that because we were on level three that we've actually been making headway? We've been advancing? No. Stay with me. Not even. I'm going to take you back to 3 weeks ago, the introduction. I offered you the opportunity to learn the truth. We all take the blue pill, remember? We're all connected to the collective unconsciousness. Now, the enchanted beast, we don't get the option, right? Those of us who are walking in tandem with our enchanted beast, we have to take the red pill because we're charged with raising all that stuff from the unconscious collective, right, to the collective consciousness. We answer the call to elevate more and more new awareness from the CU to the CC. Now, what discomforts are present in the beginning of this process? Because this is the beginning when we say, which pill are you going to take, this red pill? And it was like, yeah, you have a choice, but not really. So what's uncomfortable in this process? How could these discomfortures thwart me from continuing? Right? How can they stop you, me, us, all of us in tandem, enchanted beast walkers? How will all of these discomforts stop or delay us from continuing on? Which of our MacGyver tools can we use in the introduction part, right? In the beginning of the process, what can we use to actually get through? We could easily pull out dedication. We're going to devote the time and effort to this particular task. We can pull out trust. We can pull out trust and we can believe, we are confident that this is what exactly is supposed to happen, regardless of all of the uncomfortable stuff that I have to deal with while taking this red pill, seeing all the stuff that I'm going to see, and not all of it's high frequency, being aware of all of it and knowing I'm going to have to put it out there in the world. I'm going to dedicate myself to the task. I'm going to trust that this is exactly what has to happen, right? Level one, listening. Same question. What discomforts are present? How can they thwart? What can I use of my MacGyver tool? Level two, understanding. Same question. Level three, progress. Same question. Yes. Same question. Yes. Same question. In every level, what discomforts are present? How can they thwart me from continuing? How can I use gratitude to help endure and get through the discomfort? See, level 3 is the most important level of the process. This is where we get exactly what we need to overcome the most detrimental aspects of elevation. Enduring and going through temporary moments of discomfort and hardship. Because yes, they are temporary. Nothing lasts forever. The law of vibration, which is immutable, says that everything is moving. Nothing rests. Then why are we just now getting to this level? Why do we have to get this tool now, Ella? We've already gone through the first two levels, but have you really gone through the first two levels? Have you already accepted and swallowed the red pill? No, you haven't. You're listening, you're considering if you really want to take up the cause, if you want to progress, gratitude for all of humanity, but you're not actively engaged in the plight. Have you really, truly connected with your enchanted beast? Are you walking in tandem with her every day, all day? Are the decisions that you make for your life made with her? Is she the front and you the tail? Because if you're not able to answer in the affirmative, then no, you're not in the process. You're just listening, which is great. Listening and understanding. That's what you're doing. Learning to use tools and those levels on yourself before you try to unleash them on other people is paramount to advancing the cause, right? I mean, listening and understanding who you are, what you are, is the most difficult task of this process. You'll need the MacGyver tool to help you get through those two levels before you're ready to move on to change and elevation. You notice anything? Each of us is but a microcosm of the macrocosm that is the world. Everything in this world is represented inside of us. Right? We can't elevate awareness from the collective unconscious for humanity's collective conscious until we elevate it for our own personal conscious. You get that, right? I mean, we can't give gratitude to the world and not give it to ourselves first, me first. How would that even work? How are we to share what we don't have access to? Listen, how can we tell the world? Forget we. How can I tell you to be courageous when I'm cowering behind my own lies and misconceptions? I mean, what right do I have to preach resiliency when I can't let go of what happened to me when I was a kid? I can't ask anyone to pay attention when I'm constantly fretting about what might happen someday in the future that doesn't even exist. Seriously, I'd look like a whole fool telling people to trust the plan when I'm too afraid to step foot on my own unseen path. I mean, can I really ask somebody to go with their intuition when I don't even know what my own intuitive voice sounds like? I hadn't heard her in so long. I hadn't listened to her in so long. I don't know what she sounds like. I wouldn't feel right asking others to practice tact when I'm a freaking bull in a china shop when it comes to making my point known. I couldn't possibly tell other folk how important it is to be useful when I sit on my ass all day and do nothing at all. Right? I mean, am I expected to ask for dedication from others when I won't even stick to my exercise plan or keep my own appointments? Really? What would I look like saying to the enchanted beast out there? I need you to be excited about what we're doing. When I look, sound, and feel like death warmed over. I mean, I have to take me through the process and practice using every tool in my artist toolbox on and with and for myself before I can really affect change that leads to elevation for humanity. And of the tools I have so far, the greatest is gratitude. Are you grateful for yourself, for your journey, for your difficulties, as well as your amazing times? Have you learned to listen to what you say to yourself, to others? What you refuse to say out loud, but your body has no such qualms shouting to whoever's willing to listen? Do you listen to your whole self? With the tools you received in level one, are you able to make the sacrifices to extend and make larger the pockets of order for yourself so you can listen and hear you? I could honestly spend another 5 weeks on using level three tool in all the other levels, but I won't, because I've never been that type of teacher who spoon-fed my students what they needed to know. I would give them enough to get them interested and some resources and time to go out and get what they needed for themselves. The same is true with this Elevation series. I want to give you enough to make you curious about what life could be like if each of us elevated more and more new awareness from the collective unconsciousness to our personal consciousness. And then I would love for you to consider what the world could be like when each individually elevated person listens with the intent to understand and progress gratitude in hopes of changing the collective conscious to further elevate humanity. I had to take a moment, just a moment, to think about that. I only have one question for you. Will the discomfort be worth it? Will it be worth it? As always, thank you for joining me in the Enchanted Forest. We must have fallen into a patch of shrooms. I'm not lying. My head's just a little woozy after this walk. Seriously. Remember, follow me on my social media. Join my email list so you can get my newsletters and access to exclusive information and contests, things like that. Be sure to subscribe to Enchanted Beast Podcast wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Oh, and if you want to pick my creative brain and see how all of this fits into my fiction romance writing, be sure to purchase my books. I'll leave some links in the description. And when you purchase, after you've read, please leave a review on Amazon or Goodreads, okay? Well, this is Ella, and I have had a wonderful time hanging out with you guys. I'm reminding you to be brave, be beautiful, and be enchanting. Bye.
This has been Ella Sean with Enchanted Beast Podcast. Thank you for joining, and remember to stay enchanted.